Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry of Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. On this, the second Sunday after Pentecost, Pastor Chrissy's sermon was titled, The Gospel According to the Compost Pile. Here's Lou with our scripture reading.
I will be reading the parable of weeds among the wheat from Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30 and 36 through 43. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then he left the crowd and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Anyone who's ever tried their hand at gardening knows that the outcomes are often completely unpredictable. From drought to flood, from springtime frost to midsummer heat waves, and worst of all, bug infestations, we humans, when we try to attempt to collaborate with Mother Nature, we have to learn to let go of some of our control issues. No matter how hard we try, we cannot always control what comes forth from our gardens. We cannot predict the outcomes. In the creation business, 2 + 2 does not always equal a nice and clean, predictable 4. At the church I served before coming to Greystone, there was a ministry called Earth Keepers. This was a dedicated group of folks who were really on the cutting edge of environmental stewardship, and I'm talking about before it was cool. The Earth Keepers were smart. They were passionate about their work. They were dedicated to their mission, and they knew absolutely everything about gardening. Think Karen Brewer and Joanne Thompson and so many others. It was a great experience for me because I had a little startup garden in my backyard. Anytime I had a question, I had a whole group of people at the church I could turn to with advice and problem solving. For some time, the Earth Keepers kept a community garden on the church grounds, much like the one that Greystone has out by the parking lot. They grew all kinds of produce, squash, tomatoes, cucumbers, peas, you name it, and they grew it. Cold weather and warm weather crops alike, there was always something growing in their garden. One year, they added a compost heap to the garden project. It was a huge wooden structure that was adjacent to the brick wall which separated the garden area from the church dumpsters. The church kitchen would toss in scraps from community meals, and church members were also encouraged to bring their items from home to add to the pile. Over time, the pile did what compost piles do, and the scraps and leftovers began to decompose, forming a nutrient-rich soil that would then go back into the garden. From time to time, voluntary plants would pop up in the compost pile, and one of the faithful Earth Keeper gardeners would have to decide whether the sprout was a good one that should be planted in the garden, or if it was a weed that needed to be pulled out and tossed aside. You get all kinds of strange things growing out of a compost pile. One year, a vigorous new vine emerged, and it quickly began to grow out of the compost. The earthkeepers couldn't identify what it was. They were puzzled about whether to pull it up or to let it grow. By some stroke of luck, genius, or perhaps good faith, the gardeners, who perhaps were familiar with today's gospel reading, decided not to pull it up, but rather to wait and see what it might become. The vine grew into extraordinary length. It quickly climbed out of the compost pile and it covered the garden floor, leaving very little space for the gardeners to walk between the raised beds that were there. It also grew out the other side of the compost bin, climbing over the brick wall and down around the dumpsters. I have never seen a vine so massive. It filled every inch of unclaimed space over on that side of the church campus. Left alone to grow and mature for the whole summer growing season, the vine eventually produced gigantic pumpkin-like fruits that were the deep green color of acorn squash. Now, one brave gardener, he and his wife, they took one home, chopped it, and then cooked it, and then ate it for dinner. They survived the night, and they lived to testify that the crop was both non-toxic and it was absolutely delicious. Over the course of the summer, this mystery vine ended up producing over 100 pounds of food that went to a local nonprofit called Friendship Trays, which worked to alleviate food insecurity in the city. And all of that was possible because of the patience of one of our gardeners and of the earthkeeper's wise curiosity that urged the rest of us not to pull it up, but to wait and see what might become of that peculiar vine. A gardener sows good seed in the field, but while she's sleeping, another gardener sows weeds among the wheat and then vanishes into the night, the gospel tells us. Before long, the servants notice that the weeds are growing together with the wheat, and they immediately want to go and to pull them out. It's a reasonable response, but in the world of the parable, reasonable is seldomly rewarded. Instead of indulging the temptation to rush to judgment, the good and patient gardener says, "No, let's just wait. Let's wait and watch and see what comes. After all, we don't want to risk uprooting the wheat and pulling up the weeds. Let's just wait. Let them both grow together until the time comes for harvest. And then, at harvest time, then I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" This parable, perhaps more than most, it resonates deeply with our human fascination with creating groups of us and them. We want to know who is in, and we want to know who is out. We want to be secure in our place within that in-group so that we never have to feel the pain and isolation and loneliness of being left out, or worse, being thrown out. In its original context, the parable undoubtedly brought comfort to Jesus' disciples, who faced daily persecution and judgment and hostility against their movement. Viewing themselves as the children of God, they might have found a peaceful sense of patience with the way things were going. But somewhere between then and now, popular interpretations of this parable have grown to encourage dreadful and deadly ideologies that seem to overlook that little part about holding out our judgment. The problems with this are fairly self-evident, but none is more problematic than the theological certainty produced by those who just know that we are the children of God, and they are not. Churches are really good at this, and that should scare us to death. Parables are intended to arrest the reader by their strangeness. They are intended to subvert our worldview and to leave us with far more questions than answers. So why does this one tend to feel so definitive? Have we traded our sense of spiritual curiosity for the lure of eternal certainty? You know, in Jewish thought, there's an idea that human beings are created with two inclinations. Each of us is born with an inclination toward good and an inclination toward evil or self-interest. We spend our entire lives sorting out those pieces of ourselves. It's no wonder we can't be trusted to do it accurately with others. Often we think we can identify the flaws in our neighbors. We think it's pretty clear what they are doing when it's wrong. But more often than not, those flaws that we see, they're merely a projection of something that we don't like or something that we have repressed deeply within our own selves. Quickly, we must come to terms with the reality that the lines between wrong and right, evil and good, unrighteous and righteous, those lines are not so black and white. They're blurred, impermeable. Neither of us is fully weed or wheat. We're all both. A similar conclusion is found in a book called The Gospel of Solentiname. Solentiname is a remote peasant village in Lake Nicaragua, and each week in the 1960s and 70s, the priest would come through and the people would gather together, and in lieu of a sermon on the gospel reading for the day, there would be profound theological discussions reflecting on the gospel readings. The author of the book, Ernesto Cardenal, was the priest at this time, and he recorded the conversations because the discussions of the peasants were often more profound than many of those theologians that he was reading, because they reflected the simplicity of the gospel readings themselves. That's not surprising, Cardinal writes. The gospel, or the good news, meaning good news to the poor, was written for them by people like them. The peasants of Solentiname discuss today's reading from Matthew 13, and they echo the two inclinations, that idea that comes from our Jewish brothers and sisters, saying that the weeds and the wheat represent justice and injustice in our world. The peasants add that often the two, justice and injustice, or good and evil, are so intertwined, so woven together, that they cannot be distinguished or fully pulled apart from one another. The peasants agree that it is our responsibility to work toward becoming the wheat, which is justice, which is righteousness. And that requires a patient and faithful and listening and carefully discerning spirit. In the same period of time as the peasants of Solentiname were gathering each week to discuss the gospel, Latin America experienced great political and economic unrest. There were priests like Camilo Torres who worked hard to unite the peasant farmers and students and slum dwellers and trade unionists to advocate for their liberation, engaging in methods of nonviolent resistance. It was the righteous thing to do. But Torres soon became frustrated, and he came to the conclusion that working within the system as a priest in the Catholic Church, that he would never be able to help usher in the kind of change that he thought was so desperately needed. In 1965, Torres discarded his vestments and joined the Colombian Revolutionary Forces, saying very famously, "I took off my cassock to be more truly a priest." Of course, there were many who could not understand this gesture. There were many who did not agree about his means of achieving justice for the people. Like his friend and fellow priest, Gustavo Gutierrez, they remained committed to the nonviolence, and they would not condone Torres' decision to join the revolutionary forces, even for a righteous cause. Perhaps they recognized that there's a sprout of both wheat and weed in each and every human being, even those who we meet on the many battlefields of life, and perhaps they understood that the decision to pluck up and take away life and cast out is not ours to make. Like my friend, the faithful earth keeper, looking at that strange and mysterious vine which was climbing all over the garden, I can begin to hear the Spirit whisper, "Just wait a minute. Don't cast judgment quite yet. Let's wait and see what becomes of this one over here." One of the most perplexing things about parables is that you can never really be sure who is what and what is who. Take this one, for example. This parable which we read today, the kingdom of heaven is like a gardener. The whole kingdom is like a gardener who sowed good seed into good ground, little seeds of heaven sown right into the gardener's creation. And then comes another sower, the enemy of heaven, hell, perhaps. This one sowing the seeds of hell or evil, but also into that same garden, the garden that was God's creation. So both are growing together within God's own created garden. We've often thought that we, whoever we are, must be the children of God. We are God's children. But now I wonder, what if we are the garden? What if the seeds of heaven are sown within us and have begun to germinate until the seeds of hell are sown also right alongside them? What if those too begin to germinate? What if the weeds of hell have also grown, perhaps unnoticed, right there alongside that more promising crop? Perhaps we have felt a pinch of greed, squeezing out the sprouts of generosity just as they were beginning to take form. Perhaps we've experienced a surge of self-doubt just as confidence helped us to answer God's call boldly, saying yes. Or maybe a sprig of fear threatens to isolate us from our neighbors, touting self-protection, safety, and security as our human right, opposed to the beloved community, which is our sacred calling. The weeds and the wheat, they look so similar at first. How will we know what needs to grow and what needs to go? Perhaps we won't. And that's okay, because if there's one thing that is fairly clear from this complicated parable, whether we are children of God or children of the evil one, of some or some combination of both, whether we are servants of the master or the compost worked into the garden, the sorting of the weeds and the wheat is not our task to complete. But even still, perhaps we might find a sprout of hope growing up within us, for our master gardener is full of patience and full of grace and a whole pile of curiosity. Can't you just hear the gardener's voice whispering gently into your ear? Hold on. Don't pull that one up quite yet. Let's just wait and see what she might become.